As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here we are. You have landed back again on the satellite. This is Rick Redding, your host for the Rusty Satellite Show, where you'll hear every week from two of the most interesting people in the Ville on the show. This podcast adventure is going strong, going great. I really appreciate those of you who are listening and downloading and telling your friends about the show. All our podcast download numbers and stuff is going way up. So this week it's been a great week. The weather finally changed, so we're all happy. Everybody's in a good mood. You know, the life, you know, our life has begun. I got out of town last weekend and had a wonderful romantic weekend with Paula up at French Lick. I'll tell you about that in just a second. And this weekend, as you may know, is Easter. Easter's one of those holidays, you never know what day it's on. It's not like not like Thanksgiving or Halloween or any of those that are sort of day certain. So you never know. So this week, it's this weekend, April 5th, and I just want to tell you, it is not too late if you have plans with family to plan a dinner out at with my friends at Louie Louie's authentic Detroit style pizza. It's a really great spot for large groups. I know I'm planning an event there shortly, and I have a special thing, the very first Rusty Satellite radio contest. If you're thinking about Louie Louie's, you hear me talking about it here on the show, I'm going to have a radio contest here on the Rusty Satellite Show. So here's the deal. I have a $50 gift certificate to enjoy a dinner on the Rusty Satellite Show at Louie Louie's for the first one to email me. And this is podcasting, so it's a little slower than those radio contests you're used to. But you have to send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. If you're hearing this podcast, it debuts Thursday morning. And if you send an email to rick@louisvilleky.com and have the word Rusty in the subject line, and you can, and the only thing you have to have in the body of the email are the first names of my two guests this week. The first one to send me an email with all your contact information, I can either mail it to you or meet you somewhere and get you the prize. It's the first in win. So we'll see what kind of response we got. Again, it's rick@louisvilleky.com to win a $50 gift certificate to Louie Louie's. Now, to take a turn for the worse, let's talk about our guest this week. In the second half of the show, I'm going to have Joe Girth. He is the political reporter at the Courier-Journal, and we had a great conversation down there. I went down to 6th and Broadway and saw the newsroom. I hadn't been there since Neil Buddy, the top chief editor down at the Courier-Journal, was on this show well over a year ago. But I was interested in talking to Joe. There's a lot happening in the political world this week, and so stay tuned for for that. But first up, I just had a really great experience talking to Dr. Lewis Heiser this week. Dr. Heiser has just a fascinating story. He was among those, he was a student athlete at the University of Florida. Back in the day, he was there when the I don't know the whole story, but he talks about a little bit in the interview about the invention of Gatorade. It involves his sweat, so that's great. But I've been working out. You talk about trying to find time to do things and working out. We all struggle with that. I have found that I'm at least getting sort of dedicated to getting down to Heiser Health two or three times a week to do this exercise program you're going to hear about. I've just become a big believer in the program, and I just enjoy talking to Dr. Heiser, and I like his approach. So let's get on with the interview. Here is my talk with Dr. Lewis Heiser. And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at Heiser Health Facility on River Road with Dr. Lewis Heiser. Dr. Heiser, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
I appreciate all the work you're doing with me. I've been at it almost a month now, and I feel better, all these exercise classes. This is really a great facility. Tell us a little bit about what goes on here at Heiser Health.
Well, I've spent a couple of decades trying to determine what's the optimal workout for the most health benefits, mm-hmm. the biggest bang for your buck. And I think I've come up with a formula that works for about 90% of people. It's modifiable. There's no competition. The only person you compete with is yourself. And the exercise classes, they all address the five components of fitness. So we address, of course, cardiovascular endurance, and then muscular strength, which is so important, and muscular endurance, and then flexibility, which as we get older becomes an increasing problem. And then the fifth component is body composition, and that's where nutrition is so important, to have a lean muscular body.
Right, and I was... I signed up. I went through the nutrition class. I learned a lot there, and I guess I even remember the slides. You really developed this all on your own.
I have. Modern medicine is sick medicine. It's not wellness medicine. So I had to kind of re-educate myself how to keep people well rather than focusing on their illnesses. My job is to keep you out of the hospital.
There you go. Well, I've tried some of the recipes, and I'm trying to change my diet, although, I do like French fries, so, it's tough.
Well, nutrition is so important, and I think many of the woes and healthcare problems we have today are a direct result of what we're putting into our bodies. Okay. And the poisons and toxic substances that we're consuming.
Right. Well, this is, I guess I've known you about a year or so, and I'm really fascinated with your story. I know that, tell me a little bit about your background, starting with, growing up here in the West End.
Yeah, I was born on 22nd Street, and then in the mid-50s, when the first African-American family moved in the block, there was this great white flight from the West End to the South End, and I ended up in Pleasure Ridge, where I went to high school.
Okay.
And from there, went on to University of Florida to college.
Like you're saying, we had Chip on this show. Right. Your son Chip was on the show last year, but I guess you were the original pole vaulter in the family.
I was. I took up pole vaulting in high school. And was fortunate enough, I wasn't very good at it, but I had a pretty good grade point average, and the coach kept me around, so I got college paid for by staying on the track team.
Yeah. Now, and I may be wrong here, but I seems like there's some connection between you and the University of Florida and Gatorade. Am I wrong?
No, there's a strong connection.
Okay.
Connection there. Yeah. When I was there in the late 60s, the football team was having some serious problems with heat stroke and hypovolemia during those hot, humid practices in August in Gainesville, Florida. So the football coach went to the medical school. Their football players were dying on the
wow.
field. It was that bad. So the coach, Gatorade, went to the medical school and seeking some help on how to keep these players hydrated. And one of the nephrologists here, doctor that takes care of people in renal failure, has a good a good background in fluid and electrolytes, decided to take on the problem. So he needed some experimental subjects to get sweat from. And the track team, was we had our shirts off all the time, yeah. So it was easy to collect the sweat. So he was collecting my sweat and nine other guys and would analyze the minerals and the amount of sweat that we were putting off on those hot, humid afternoons. So the bottom line is, when you're drinking Gatorade, you're drinking my sweat.
Well, it suddenly doesn't taste as good.
No.
But I wonder how you get all those flavors. But anyway, it's a fascinating story. As big as Gatorade become, that it started right there when you were a student at.
Dr. K was a really cool guy. He was rather short, and he would come out with a white shirt and a black tie and black pants. And of course, he was sweating too. He was really hot, but he was a very nice man and very, very smart, thoughtful physician.
Okay. Now, the next thing I'm interested in, I know you spent many years, decades as a surgeon here in town, but you decided to. Start your own business, start this Heiser Health program at some point. Tell me that.
Well, I'm embarrassed that modern medicine does not really approach prevention in a meaningful way. Like I say, I was in medical school. I was taught to be a sick doctor and take care of diseases that already exist. We knew nothing really about prevention. And using exercise and nutrition to prevent and treat 70% of the diseases that Americans die prematurely from. So when I finished training, the fat barrier on my gloves was at my wrist. By the time the early 1990s, the fat barrier was up to my elbow, and we had to widen the operating tables. And the wheelchairs had to be wider because Americans were becoming so big. And by the time I stopped operating in 2003, the fat barrier was up to my shoulder. So that's just a real visual for you to see. And people, my breast cancer patients weren't dying of breast cancer. They were dying of heart attacks, diabetes, strokes, high blood pressure, all the other comorbidities. Most of them I couldn't put to sleep until I got their blood pressure under control. So this was a huge problem, and you know, the front of the battle is nutrition and exercise. It's not another pill to give you.
So it would be so much easier if I could just take a pill and
it's very easy for me to write a prescription. It's hard for me to convince you to get into the gym and put some sweat equity into the maintenance of your body.
Yeah, you're right. So Heiser Health, you got this wonderful facility here on River Road and another one out in the East End. I've talked a little bit about on the show about the program that I'm in, but I guess I'm interested in asking you about, you know, how you approach the market and how you get a lot of times it's companies and corporations to get their employees in, and what the sales pitch is there, because I know it's beneficial for presidents and CEOs of companies to have healthy employees.
Well, I had a difficult time defining and branding myself for the first 10 years. And I think we found a way now to make it. People were confused. Was I a bariatrics operation? Did I take care of athletes? Did I only take care of kids? And I think we've solved some of that confusion. So Heiser Health has three components to it. And the first one we call Heiser Diagnostics, and that's where you would come in and do the health risk assessment. And I'd be able to do all your biometrics, your blood pressure, your waistline, your body fat, your BMI, and then the basic labs, which is the lipid panel and the fasting glucose, and identify those risk factors that may be taking 10, 20 years off your lifespan if we can correct them.
Now, I did that part. I guess I came out okay on that.
So we need that benchmark to see where you stand right now.
Okay.
And just being overweight now is a risk factor, we've learned, not just obesity. So most of us have at least one risk factor we need to work on. So that's Heiser Diagnostics. Then the second arm is Heiser Nutrition, because once people understand how potent a medicine food is and what certain foods do to your insides, it's a real eye-opener to know just how much that, what's really not food that you think is food that you're eating, how much that's hurting you. And then the third component is Heiser Fitness. And again, we want to give you optimum health, to maximize your health. I want you to look good on the outside, but I want you to look good on the inside.
There you go. Well, and it's interesting to me. I mean, you certainly practice what you preach.
I have to. Yeah.
And you've got your whole family involved in the business and in living this way, right?
Yeah. Of course, my wife is integral. She really runs the business aspects of the practice here, and she's going to be she's a nurse. She'll become a nurse practitioner in another month, so she'll be on the front lines with me, seeing patients.
Good for her. And then Chip works here, and
Chip does. Of course, Chip is our athlete. Mm-hmm. And when I first started the Louisville Youth Training Center, he was our main draw. Everybody wanted to come work out with Chip, and he's continuing to pole vault. And he does a lot of the insurance work and business aspects and marketing for the company as well.
And your other son,
my youngest son, Will, he's our true marketing guy. He runs the website and all the blogs, and he does the recipes and keeps our clients and patients engaged.
Yeah,
and trying to keep them coming back. So it's an enjoyable place to be and a friendly family atmosphere, a nurturing atmosphere here.
It really is. And all the people who work here that I've met have this great attitude. I want to ask you, just because the discipline of eating right is maybe the most challenging thing for me, and I've heard others talk about your discipline on food. Is that something you always, or were you ever like an unhealthy eater and you changed at some point?
Well, my nutrition education started when I was a junior medical student on the burn unit at the old General Hospital, because people with major burns have to be fed intravenously. Mm-hmm. And one of my jobs as a student, I had to mix all the jars of Hyper-L. I had to know every nutrient, every chemical that went into that Hyper-L, and we would feed them by vein. The GI tract shuts down with major burns, and we have to feed them for prolonged periods of time by vein. And it just so happens the formula for healing a massive wound is the same formula you need for a healthy, lean, muscular body.
Okay.
So I learned from the scientific principles from the bottom up on really sick, critically injured patients, but I've transferred that now to nutrition guidelines for everybody.
All right. Well, it's certainly, I'm certainly a believer in the program. We got to wrap it up here, but Dr. Heiser, thanks for being on the show and for all you do here in Louisville.
Well, you're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect, but the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, "We take the time to care," they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And I am back. I finished the interview with Dr. Heiser and went and did an exercise class. It was just a great day for me on a Tuesday. And I tell you, I hope this works out. I'm really impressed with Dr. Heiser. If you get a chance, go down there, talk to them about getting. They have a great program for employers. A lot of the big employers in town have a program for their team members at Heiser Health. So that's all good. So I want to talk a little bit about what I did last weekend, which was, the winter, really got me down and I wanted to get away. I wanted to just go south for a while and go drive till I found some sunshine. But this weekend, it was still a little nippy, but I went with my girlfriend Paula and we went to the French Lick. Which is, if you don't know, it's about an hour and a half west. It's in Indiana. It's the hometown of Larry Bird. And in French Lick, they have a couple of fantastic resorts. We stayed at the best West Baden Springs Hotel and Resort. I guess it's called a resort. It has this magnificent six-story atrium. It's a bigger room than you've ever seen. And it's just spectacular. And it's a first-class operation the whole way. We were treated to some great stuff. We got there Friday night. Of course, we had to watch basketball games. Fortunately, got to see Louisville win on Friday, and got to see Kentucky win on Saturday, and then Louisville lost on Sunday. So, that was a little bit of a bummer on Sunday. But Kentucky's headed to the Final Four in Indianapolis this week. I know a lot of folks from around here are headed up there. It'll finally be the conclusion of basketball season. Looks like Kentucky, should fulfill their destiny and win the whole thing. But you never know. They got Wisconsin first. But at French Lick, there are so many like cool things to do there. I think on Friday we just got to the room and sort of explored the hotel a little bit, watched the game, had a nice dinner. Saturday just to give you an idea of all the things we did some shopping. We had a wonderful breakfast at the hotel. Did some shopping. Wandered around. They have a shuttle from the West Baden to the French Lick, and it's about a mile apart. It's a free shuttle. They have a casino over there. So Paula had to go, and I helped her lose about $65, I think, is what we did at the casino, playing blackjack and roulette. But it was all fun, a great atmosphere. They even have a bowling alley, believe it or not. They have a bowling alley. They have a wonderful spa and pool area. I did a little hot tub thing. And beyond that, we had wonderful meals, had nice drinks. Even maybe my favorite part was the on Saturday night they have a late night jazz thing and a thing they call the library. It's just a little room. There probably weren't 10 people in there, but a three piece jazz group was playing, and just really enjoyed that. And then of course, maybe the highlight of the trip, it was so cold. It was 39 degrees and windy but Paul and I were determined to go see the go play the Donald Ross Golf Course up there. They're going to have the one of the PGA tournaments in at the Pete Dye Course up there in French Lick. We played the other one, the Donald Ross. It was perfectly manicured fairways. They had just aerated the greens, so the greens weren't quite true, but it was just a wonderful experience, a great golf course, great facilities. And Paul and I got out there in the freezing cold and played a round of golf. It warmed up as we went on, and we finished. It was great. We finished the 18th hole and walked into the clubhouse just in time for the tip-off of the Louisville game against Michigan State, which they lost. Too bad. But overall, the trip was it was wonderful. I just saw so many things. There's a lot of history there. There are a lot of things to see. We bought some things, and just tell you, Paula, we're off on a romantic weekend, and she's going to kill me for saying this, but she had two things. I started wondering if something was up, because she asked me if. She said she was looking for a ring and she wanted to go to a jewelry store. And I said, okay, well, we'll do that. There's plenty of jewelry stores up there. But then we're driving in the shuttle and she looks out the window and says, oh, look at that beautiful facility over there, that garden. It was really, it's spring. It's starting to look really nice. And I said, wouldn't that be a great place for a wedding? And I said, Paula, enough with the dropping of the hints about getting married, right? We're all kidding around about that. It was all fun, and we came back on Sunday, and it was just a great weekend, great time to get away. And when I came back, I got many of you know that if you listen to this show, I've had renters in my house through Airbnb for about 3 months, and they moved out. So I've been living with Paula. I moved back, and so we're recording this show for the first time in months in my little studio up on the second floor of my house. And it's kind of nice to be back. It was a wonderful experience. 3 months, a great amount of time to live with Paula, and all that was fun. So anyway, let's move on to some of the things in the news this week, and it just strikes me it's amazing all the things all the news just broke while we were in French Lick in Indiana about Governor Pence up there had signed this Religious Freedom Act that had invoked the ire of people all over the country against Indiana because the bill, as it was portrayed, as it was explained in the media, gave businesses a license to discriminate against gays and lesbians. And that is just, it's just interesting in our culture how I think, you know, maybe 10 years ago, there wouldn't have been such a backlash. But this is a national backlash bigger than anyone in Indiana ever thought would happen. There are so many businesses that have canceled plans to do things in Indiana. I even hear some of the, like the coach at Connecticut, the basketball coach at Connecticut, all the basketball coaches from all over the country go to the Final Four. It's in Indianapolis, in Indiana. And Kevin Ollie, the Connecticut coach, I read a story where his university told him he couldn't go because it was in Indiana. And the governor, it continues to defend the law and does not realize the harm that it is doing to his state economically. And I think that's the big story here. Probably in terms of the sheer, you want to talk about something that's ludicrous. Look at Kentucky. This week there was a story. Governor Steve Beshear came out with another illogical defense of the gay marriage ban. Kentucky, for those of you that don't know a little history, there is a lawsuit involving gay marriage, and a judge has ruled on the ban, and Kentucky was forced to defend its gay marriage ban that was voted in some years ago. And Attorney General Jack Conway, didn't go along with. He refused to defend the Kentucky's law. So Beshear went out and found some high priced lawyers and vowed to defend the law. And many months ago, those lawyers came up with this crazy idea that if gay marriage was allowed to happen in Kentucky, it would affect the birth rates in our state. I'm not kidding you. That was what he said. The advice of his lawyers was to come up to tell the media that was his defense, that the gay marriage thing was, that gay marriage would destroy the birth rates in Kentucky. And you know, that seemed like so crazy and so ludicrous that the lawyers on the other side were coming up with ways to ridicule the governor for this logic. But then this week he comes out with something that's even more illogical to me. And you'd have to read the story, but it involved the logic that since people of not a single person, whether you're male or female, you can't marry someone of your same sex. So it's equally the law is equal to both sexes. So there is therefore in Beshear's mind, it's not discriminatory. Well, all the lawyers again on the other side had a field day with this logic, and it just makes our governor look dumb. I mean, he is educated, he's smart, he's a lawyer himself. To trot out this logic in public, it just makes you scratch your head. In my opinion, this should have caused more of a ruckus in the national media than what happened over in Indiana. Not to make light of what Governor Pence is going through, but it's just crazy. It's like Kentucky had a great opportunity to use this issue to lure businesses and lure events over from Indiana over here. And the same week it happens, Beshear comes out with this crazy logic. So, again, I don't understand why people do certain things. But when you hear my interview with Joe Girth, he has an idea about what's going on there. So, you can pay attention to that and find out. Anyway, some of the other news that I'm posting a lot of news on LouisvilleKY.com. I hope you go by there and check that out. We have a new newsletter that just went out for the first time last week. There's going to be a sign-up form on the site if you want to get the newsletter. It'll be a weekly reminder of, it'll come out every Friday, and every week you'll find out who's on the Rusty Satellite Show, and it'll remind you to tune in, and you'll also catch up on the news of the week. The big stories this week, the Angels Envy distillery that's going up down on Main Street was purchased by Bacardi, which did not have a premium bourbon brand. And so that business is now in the hands of a huge conglomerate. It seems like, you know, last week Louisville Slugger was bought by an out-of-country firm. But Bacardi is a very strong company, and that's good news, I think, for Angel's Envy. Our local government launched a South Point's scenic area. Yeah, I saw the sign even on the Watterson Expressway. It's my old neighborhood. I grew up in the Iroquois area down South 3rd Street, and they have basically tried to create a reason for people to come to the South End. And they didn't call it the South End. They call it South Points. It was moved by your metro government to increase the popularity of that part of town. And the metro government, another interesting story, I thought, posted on Louisville KY that there's a concern about what's called pop-up parties that the young people are going to. Apparently some abandoned warehouses and abandoned buildings are being used to front huge parties where organizers spread the word on social media and invite people to come. They pay an admission charge and they get in. And, well, you know, somebody ruined the fun. This always happens when things are going well. This successful thing was going on. Well, now the Metro Council stepped in because there was some violence at a couple of these, and there's some underage drinking going on, and you know, it's just a bad situation for them. So anyway, the Metro Council is trying to address that issue, and you know, we're all just to tell you a couple more things on the LouisvilleKY.com site. Tom Mabe, who was on the show just a week ago, has a new video out. It's a prank it forward thing where he matches homeless people with pets. I strongly encourage you to go to the site and take a look at that video. It's about 8 minutes. It's very well produced. This week they had a special presentation down at Churchill Downs where the Kentucky Derby trophy was unveiled. That's an annual event, the first of a series of annual events as we get into April. I'm looking forward to all of them. There's a whole bunch of things. There's a calendar on LouisvilleKY.com. It has all the major events going on in town. Would encourage you to take a look at that. So anyway, let's get on with our second guest, the second part of the show. My guest is Joe Girth, who has 27 years been an employee of the Courier-Journal, which is an amazing bit of longevity. I asked him about having to reapply for his job and getting hired again as the political reporter. Joe is very well connected with sources in the political world, and he is you know, he's a survivor down there. I don't know that there's any reporters been there 27 years. Joe has a very important beat, and I just wanted to talk to him about some political issues, as you'll hear in my interview, which is coming up next here on the Rusty Satellite Show. And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is at a famous address, 6th and Broadway in downtown Louisville, with Joe Girth, the political reporter for the Courier-Journal. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Joe, this is amazing. I should congratulate you. You're a longtime reporter here at the Courier, and you're also a newly hired reporter here at the Courier.
Yeah, everyone here had to reapply for our jobs. And luckily, I was hired back into the job that I've done for the past, seven and a half years, I guess. You know, we're struggling through it, but I think most people handled it pretty well.
Yeah. Well, there were a few exceptions, but most everybody that from what I heard, got to keep their jobs and do this great work that you get to do down here as part of the paper. And you're covering politics, and I'm just sort of very interested in that. And I understand you got a big role on Thursday. We're recording this on Wednesday, but on Thursday, President Obama is coming to town. Tell me what your day's like for that.
Well, the morning I haven't decided what I'm doing. I'm probably going to be making phone calls, just talking to people about what they expect to happen, and so on and so forth. Sometime. Around noontime, I'll have to go to hook up with the media pool that travels with the president. I'll be the local print reporter in the media pool, which means I will be in the room with him. I will then have to file a pool report to the White House, who and then would, will turn and pass that pool report out to others who want the who want that report. I won't be able to do any tweeting or anything like that until after I file the pool report, so don't expect to see too much. If you follow me on Twitter, don't expect to see too much from me, because the rules are that I've got to distribute it to everyone before I write anything for my for my own publication.
That's pretty strict rules, and surprising to me, I guess, given the state of journalism today and the media. I mean, your job, I used to write for a newspaper. I turned in three stories and left every week. Tell me a little bit about how your job has evolved, say, the last 5 years.
It's a heck of a lot different than it used to be. I mean, like you said, it used to be that you came in, you wrote your stories, you went home at the end of the day, and you were done. Anymore, so much of your job is dealing with social media and trying to promote the newspaper, promote yourself through social media, making sure that people can who log on to Twitter, who look at Facebook, see that your stories and other stories in your newspaper, not just yours, but see that they're out there, they're getting full display, and that people have a chance to read them.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes up more time than you might imagine to do that, and then on top of that, I find myself doing more of this sort of work also,
right.
Talking to people like you, and just kind of trying to promote the newspaper a little bit more.
Yeah, because your responsibilities are responsibilities to promote the paper, and I guess the size of your social media network is like a factor that nobody even thought about 10 years ago.
Exactly. And it used to be that I hated sitting down talking to people like you. not because I don't like you, Rick, but just because I was uncomfortable doing it. But, you know, over time you get used to it a little bit.
Yeah, it's all about communicating. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious about say 10 years ago, 15 years ago, that competition was the big thing. I mean, in developing sources as a reporter, it was very important. Do you still find that? Are you still trying to get the story before everybody else?
Oh, certainly. And sources are still important. They'll always be important in news gathering. I had a story that ran this weekend about the about a political action committee with ties to the Koch brothers coming into Kentucky, and that was done using at least six different sources of mine who knew some part of the story,
right.
And so getting stories is still important, getting them fast is important, and also trying to find things that other people aren't writing about and aren't doing, because there is a lot more people out there. There are a lot more people out there doing this work right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it for blogs. They're doing it for alternate publications. And so it keeps you hopping.
But I guess some people would say that the criticism of the media sometimes is the rush to get the story. There's no depth. You don't get time to spend 3 days on one story anymore. Do you struggle with getting deep into stories?
You always do, but you always did. Because there's always plenty of breaking news to cover. And it's part of it is self-discipline to decide, well, I'm not going to go cover that. I'll let AP handle it, or I'll just let it pass by and we won't have anything on it.
Right.
And you've always had that that kind of push and pull going on. And, you hope you make the right decisions and hope you spend the right amount of time doing the right stories in the end.
Right. Well, let me ask you a little bit about yourself, because we got a limited time here, and we're talking about developing resources. And I would think that it certainly helps to be working in your hometown. Give me a little idea of your – I know you grew up here in Louisville.
Right? Yeah, grew up in Louisville, product of the Catholic school system. Went to Our Mother Sorrows in the old St. Joe's neighborhood, went to St. X after that, and then I went to the University of Louisville. I've lived all my life in Kentucky, most of it in Louisville. I spent 9 years living out in the state covering things for the Courier-Journal. I've been with the Courier-Journal for 27 years now.
Wow. That's That's amazing. I haven't done anything for that long.
I'm a survivor.
I tell you, you really are, as given the number of people come in and out of this newsroom. Let's talk about some current stories that you're working on. We're in election season. We've got I guess the big story in terms of elections, the Republican primary is in a month or so. Yeah. How you see that shaping up?
Yeah, it's month and 18 days, I guess.
Okay.
And it's, going into this thing, a lot of people thought that Agriculture Commissioner James Comer, had the leg up. But he doesn't have the money that Hal Heiner has. And the polling that we have seen indicates that this race has narrowed and that Heiner has actually pulled ahead a little bit. Now, it's still early. People are still forming opinions. More than 25% of voters that we talked to in our poll hadn't yet figured out what they were going to do on May 19th. But it shows that Comer has a bit of a struggle ahead of him because he doesn't have the money that Heiner had. Heiner dropped $4.2 million of his own wealth into this race, and that's hard to compete with because when you're running for state office in Kentucky, you can only raise money at a $1,000 per person clip, and so that is real hard to put together $4.2 million if you're Jamie Comer.
Sure. And very quickly, in terms of whoever comes out of that Republican primary, is it a big advantage for Jack Conway to have little to no competition in the primary, or how do you see it? Going beyond it.
I can make an argument that it's an advantage. I can also make an argument that it's not an advantage. The advantage is you get to conserve your resources, save all that money that you would be spending on television and spend that in the last days leading up to the November election. The problem is that he's not out there spending that money right now, that he's not running ads, that people aren't getting to know him. He's not defining himself right now, and that can be problematic in the long run. I think, for instance, Allison Grimes made a mistake in the Senate race when she didn't take advantage of having open airways going into the primary to define herself, which allowed McConnell then to come back and define her in the general election, and she could never recover from that.
Yeah.
So I think you can argue both ways on that.
Sure. Okay. Well, one other topic I wanted to get to before we're done. This week, all the talk on social media and in the newspaper, everywhere else, is about the Religious Freedom Act in Indiana. And you know, I know everybody's talking that to death about what that means, but I'm more interested in your take on what Governor Beshear had to say in regards to the Gay Marriage Act here in Kentucky, which, I think if it weren't for the Indiana thing going on, that'd be a bigger story than it is.
You may very well be right. I mean, basically what and it wasn't actually Beshear, but it was the lawyers arguing for Beshear. And what they said in a brief to the Supreme Court is that Kentucky's law is not discriminatory because nobody can marry people of the same sex, whether they're gay or not. There have been some people who have that's raised some eyebrows among some people who have thought that wasn't quite the right answer.
I think a lot of people are trying to figure out how to make fun of that statement without, because certainly the lawyers on the other side were having kind of a field day.
Yeah, they were incredulous that someone would actually make that argument. And I don't know. There's part of me who knows a little bit about law that says that, well, you throw everything against the wall and you hope that something will stick. And I think that might be what they're doing here. And we'll see if that sticks or not.
Yeah, I guess it's so hard to gauge what the public thinks. Certainly with what happened in Indiana, you feel the wrath of the whole country coming down on discriminatory practices.
Right, and this is a big step. I don't know that 5 years ago or 10 years ago we would have seen this sort of outcry over legislation that is perceived to be harmful to gays and lesbians. It seems that we may be we're in the midst of this argument over gay marriage, and it seems we may be taking some pretty significant strides here in the way we as a society view people who are gay.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's obvious about what's going on. Well, Joe, we're about out of time here, but appreciate you spending a little time with me. You seem to you're still having fun here at the Courier Journal, right?
If I wasn't, I'd find something else to do. So yeah, I still like my job. So
well, very good. Well, it's good. We'll all be reading you in the Courier online, and for those that still take the newspaper, there as well. And
please take the newspaper.
There you go. Pitch that paper.
There you go.
All right, Joe. Thanks a lot.
All right.
And the satellite is signing off. That is a big thank you to Joe Girth and Dr. Lewis Heiser for appearing on the show this week. It's a very exciting time to be in Louisville. I think April and May are probably the best months to live here. And you know, I tell you, I'm a big backer of all things Louisville. I think we should all be proud of our hometown and get out there and enjoy some of the things that are going on. I know I'm going to be. I hope I see you out on the town as this week's go on. Remember, we have a contest this week. If you didn't write it down earlier, a $50 gift certificate to Louie Louie's authentic Detroit style pizza out here in J-Town. To the first email I get addressed to rick@louisvilleky.com with the word Rusty in the subject line and the first names of my two guests, Lewis and Joe, in the body of the email, I'll give you a $50 gift certificate you can use at Louie Louie's authentic Detroit style pizza. So anyway, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. I hope to have you back again next week. Remember, you can catch all the news of the city on LouisvilleKY.com and check out my past shows at RustySatelliteShow.com. Thanks to Dan Vonderheid, my producer, and Passport Health Plans, Louie Louie's, and Heiser Health for being a part of the show. And until next week, this is Rick Redding signing off for the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.